kindness is treating others how you'd want to be treated yourself in all walks of life. I don't think that goes without saying, but I think the collaboration point is really pertinent to what I do. We're fortunate we work with organizations of all shapes and sizes around the world, and they engage with us because they want help. And I think we're at our best when we really bring together the full power of the 330,000 people in PwC, right? And we collaborate cross-border, cross-business units to work with our clients.
Hello and welcome to the Women of the Future podcast, a podcast made in collaboration with the Women of the Future programme, a platform built to unlock a culture of kindness and collaboration among leaders, as well as support and celebrate the successes of women. I'm Kim Rowell and I won the media category at their awards in 2018 in recognition of my continued work as a commissioner, producer and children's author, particularly within the mental health remit. I'll be talking to my guests on this podcast about their careers, who or what gave them their first big break, their successes, failures, and inspirations along the way, and how they came to be a part of the Women of the Future network. Peter Brown is PricewaterhouseCoopers Global People and Organization Leader, managing operations across 157 countries with a workforce practice of over 10,500 professionals. He joined PwC UK as a partner in September 2010, having previously held senior roles at large professional services organisations. With over 25 years' experience as a workforce and HR transformation expert, Peter is committed to working with large multinational organisations to help them tackle their staffing and people challenges. Prior to working in professional services, Peter was in the Royal Air Force and continues to support them as a trustee of the Royal Air Force Charitable Trust, with a focus on inspiring STEM skills within young people. Peter received an MBE for his services to the Royal Air Force in 1999 and was named in the top 25 global human capital consultants in 2023, and also featured in the top 50 kindness and leadership list the same year.
I grew up in a place called Duxford, which is just south of Cambridge. My mum and dad and the rest of my family were all from Sheffield. And it was much to my late grandfather's dismay that I was born actually in Cambridge, simply because at that time, to play cricket for Yorkshire, you had to have been born in Yorkshire. And so, you know, even though my cricket ability is very limited, I could never play for Yorkshire. But look, I was very fortunate, very happy upbringing. I've got one brother. We both went to state schools in South Cambridge. They're called village colleges there. They're not comprehensives. He, because he's got the brains, my brother went to Hills Road Sixth Form, and I went to Long Road Sixth Form, which is the other sixth form college in Cambridge. And then I went off to university down in Exeter.
And what were you like as a student? Were you very diligent, hardworking, or was it more about the extracurricular side and physical activities and things like that?
Completely the latter. So certainly through secondary school. You know, I look back at my secondary school and I was a very fidgety child. My attention span was very short. I was much more interested in sport, in rugby and in music. And actually growing up in Duxford, which was the base, an old Second World War Royal Air Force base, and it's now the home of the Imperial War Museum, I grew up with aeroplanes flying around. And I joined the Air Training Corps, the cadets, which gave me a great outlet from school. All sorts of walks and camps and flying and all sorts of fun activities, but in parallel, my music. So my mum was a school teacher. She was a musician. I played the trumpet and the piano. I was in the National Children's Orchestra, in the Cambridge Youth Brass Band, the Cambridge Youth Orchestra, all those kind of things. And that was a great outlet from school. It wasn't until I actually went to sixth form when something clicked in terms of I needed to kind of knuckle down and try my best to anyway. And I sort of did, and I think did enough to get through. But I don't look back at those school days and think that was fantastic, because it was more of a hindrance to things I wanted to go and do.
And is music still a component of your life? Do you still play instruments, or has that fallen by the wayside a little bit?
No, I mean, it does to the extent that I'm the very proud father of have three kids, two girls and a boy. All of them play musical instruments. So I sort of, dad plays along. But I remember it was for me, it was a critical decision point. At the time, there were, like, I was just in London alone. There were like 150 unemployed, brilliant trumpet players. And I would probably just add to that number. And I remember my mum saying at the time, look, keep music as a passion and a hobby. And you don't want to fall in the trap of it actually becoming something you don't enjoy. And probably words that have stayed with me. So, yeah, I love music and yeah, still play a bit, but yeah, nothing particularly serious.
Yeah, I suppose also there's a danger if it becomes something that you're paid for as a vocation. You, like you say, you might fall out of love with it and have a different
Exactly.
relationship with it. But
Yeah.
interesting also, though, that you did become an officer in the Royal Air Force and you were there for 10 years, I think it is, isn't it? But
That's
that
right, yeah.
sounds like it was a result of you actually being in that environment and seeing the physical planes and what have you. Is that right? Or was there more of an influence from a different area of your life?
So no influence family-wise, but I think my uncle had been a drummer in the Second World War and a driver in the Air Force. But no family influence. It was more, I think I was quite inspired by that, actually. I mean, I love airplanes. I still do to this day. My kids laugh because I have an app looking at airplanes in the sky. I can tell you where planes have come from, where they're going, and all that kind of stuff. But I think actually for me, the cadets, and then I was very fortunate the Air Force sponsored me through sixth form and university. And so I was kind of drawn into it. Worked with some fantastic people, had some brilliant experiences, demanding lots of fun. And when I sort of left college and joined proper, so to speak, my first tour was in Cyprus, right? So at the age of 21, would you mind going and living in a sunny island in the Mediterranean? Yeah, yes, to work, but to do all sorts of other things was just phenomenal.
And is there, or was there, a standout moment as a part of this process? Or maybe it was the influence of an individual or a mentor or a guide in that way that helped mold your interests or make sure that you were affirmed in what you were doing and you were on the right path when it came to a career point of view?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think if I go back to my school days, actually, there's one school teacher who completely stands out, a chap called Mr. Levitt. And he was my maths teacher. And he was just somebody who I think just gave me lots of confidence. Whatever he saw in me, he was just fantastic, right? He embraced me, embraced my fidgety ways, backed me, believed in me. And I think really helped me on my way there. Just, and I think that was very formative in terms of when I then went on to sixth form college. When I went to university, my tutor, a lady called Sue Jennings, just again, just a wonderful person who was inspiring, took a real interest. And again, just I think supported me in backing where I wanted to try and get to and what I was trying to do, which was fantastic. And then if I think throughout my sort of working career, a number of individuals who have helped shape me, who have helped me learn and develop along the way. I think there's one that would stand out who had the great fortune of working for the head of the Royal Air Force at the time. And the individual at the time was somebody who, for me, just demonstrated so many traits that when people talk about great leaders, that they'll tick off many of the things, the attributes he had. He was first and foremost, a very humble person. Wherever he went, and he worked for a very senior government minister, but wherever he went, he made everybody feel listened to and important. He made time for that. His attention to detail was second to none. He was always on top of his brief. But I think as a leader as well, that humility shone through. He was somebody who would often say that great leaders are people who, don't actually have all the answers, but they surround themselves and empower their teams around them and their leaders around them to help make the right decision, and very inclusive in how they make that decision, involving people. And many of the things that he did and the way he operated have stood with me ever since.
I find that really interesting because now, obviously, it feels like that's part of who you are now because you have a focus on inspiring young people in particular to get into the STEM skills and what have you. But so it sounds like that influence has really been ingrained in you. But I also like that notion of not being afraid to admit your flaws and not being afraid to admit your failures because also some of my greatest failures have been my greatest moments of realization or light bulb instances. So I'm guessing everything that you're saying has really, really influenced how you operate now within your role.
What certainly influenced how I try and operate now in my role. Because, well, to your exact point, nobody's perfect, right? And I make as many mistakes as the next person. But I do, that influence of some of those earlier people I worked for certainly endured. I think being the father of three children, two of whom are girls, is A, wonderful, but B, I think looking at everything I can do to try and make sure opportunity is equal. And you're right. When I left the Air Force after 10 fabulous years, and I left because I met my now wife, who was a midwife in the army, and we figured out that there would be no way we would be living within probably 150 miles of each other. So one of us had to leave, and I left. And I didn't want to go into kind of working in defence or anything like that, but I wanted to certainly put something back into the Air Force because it had given me so much, a great start in life. So I'm a very proud ambassador for the Royal Air Force Museum. I am also a trustee of the Royal Air Force Charitable Trust. Some of your listeners may have been to the Royal International Air Tattoo, which is the largest military air tattoo air show in the world every year. The money we raise from that and other events, really, we then try and invest in promoting careers in aviation, in space, in technology, and trying to inspire young people, boys and girls.
It would be great to understand more about your career journey because people might not also realize that some of these options are available, potentially also coming out of the Air Force too. But you now have over 25 years experience in workforce and HR transformation, and you are now a global workforce leader, which is phenomenal at PricewaterhouseCooper. And you manage operations across 157 countries, if I've got that right, and a workforce practice of over 10,500 people, professionals. Can you tell me more about how you go from the Royal Air Force to being a global workforce leader? What does that look like?
Well, I remember when I was leaving the Air Force, and you get some sort of resettlement advice, they call it. And at the time, I said, "Oh, go and be a management consultant," which all sounds brilliant, apart from the fact I had zero commercial experience. And again, I think I was very fortunate. There was a job website for people leaving the armed forces, and I was hired by a brilliant entrepreneur, and it was at the time of the sort of dot-com bubble, which promptly burst actually shortly after I left. But it was phenomenal just working in a startup and learning, learning, learning. And then I moved through again completely by chance and through networking, what have you. I worked for a large outsourcing company, and then another very large professional services company in Accenture, and then moved to PwC 14 years ago. I'm often asked, how do you move from the Air Force to that? And I think it's, I love people. I love working with people. I'm certainly somebody who, when the pandemic struck, and the doors were locked, when they were unlocked, I couldn't wait to get back into the office and be with my colleagues and with my clients. I get a lot of energy from that. But I would put it down to a lot of luck, meeting some phenomenal people who took a chance. I remember the person who hired me into Accenture. The interview was, well, probably technically very poor, but we both had a shared love of Liverpool Football Club. And frankly, that's the luck coming in because most of the conversation was around Liverpool at the time. And the rest is history. I think once you join and get to understand the organization and colleagues, and very fortunately, I seem to suit it and enjoyed it very much.
And there are some definite synergies there as well between the armed forces and what you're doing. And it might not necessarily be the discipline, but like you say, it's the humanizing elements, making it personable, which is clearly there's some underlying consistent threads running through your career.
I think so, because I think there's often some misconceptions around, the armed forces, and people come out and they'll just do what they're told and what have you. And actually, for me, and to this day, I think the armed forces are fantastic training areas and provide such brilliant training opportunities for people in terms of leadership, those human skills, critical thinking, decision making. And in the role I do now, which is frankly all around workforces and people. And in this world in which we live, which there's so many challenges, and the pace of change is relentless. I'm a firm believer in, whatever you're doing, it will fundamentally require people to do things differently, to change. And how do you help organizations, individuals go through that journey? And I love it.
And across all the work you've done, is there any one thing in particular that stands out for you or that you are particularly proud of?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily a specific project or anything like that, but it's more actually so when I joined the Air Force at that time, it was a dismissible offence to be gay. If you were female, you joined a different part of the Air Force, the WRAF, and you were on different pay scales. And it was just as I was joining that women were allowed to fly. And it wasn't actually until I left in 2000 that being gay was acceptable within the Air Force. So, you think now, 24 years later, you look back and think, my goodness me, how could that ever be? But that's the case. But there's an example. There's a she's actually a colleague now, but I didn't know her personally when I was in the Air Force. But a colleague called Jo Salter, who actually went on to become Britain's first combat female pilot. And I remember when Jo qualified, because at that time it prompted a huge amount of interest, as you can imagine, from the media various around the world. And Jo went on to do some fantastic things. And we actually bumped into each other randomly about 9 years ago. And we had lunch. And I said, "What are you up to?" And she said, "Oh, I'm actually just applying for a job." And it was with one of our competitors. And I said, "Well, why are you going there?" Because actually, we had a requirement for exactly that. And I could see Jo fitting in, and she joined. And Jo does tremendous things, particularly around role modeling for girls and women. She has a phrase, "If you can't see it, you can't be it," and she lives that to the full. But harking back to when she became a pilot, I thought, well, gosh, she was never recognised for that in terms of some kind of award, and that didn't sit quite well with me, actually, because I thought, given I know what she and other women at the time had been through when that change happened, which was huge, it just struck me as something as odd that she hadn't been. Anyway, long story short, myself and a couple of colleagues, we wrote her up for an award, and she got a state award 3 years ago. She got an MBE in recognition, actually, not for being Britain's first female fast jet pilot, but actually for the brilliant work she does around promoting business and careers for girls and young women.
That's lovely that something that you're really proud of is someone else's achievement. I don't think I've ever had that before. No, this is brilliant. I think it's excellent. And it also leads me nicely on to the work that you do with
Yeah.
the Women of the Future program. Could you tell me more about how you've been involved with what they do?
I can, because I remember it vividly. I was invited to the Asian Women of Achievements Awards dinner by a friend. And if I'm honest, I went thinking, well, I'm not a huge attender of those kind of awards dinners. And so I went thinking, well, let's see what this is like. And I sat down actually next to a friend who said, "You've not been to one of these before, have you, Pete?" And I said, "I haven't." And she said to me, "Well, stand by. This will be quite emotional." And I thought, no, of course it won't. Anyway, the next 2 to 3 hours rolled on, and one by one, the most inspirational women came up and received awards. And it was just awe-inspiring, humbling. And I thought, yeah, gosh, this, well, it was just something that I really liked the way in which it was done. But in that same evening, I met a lady called Pinky Lalani. And I think there's a verb, isn't there, to be pinked, I've subsequently learned.
100%. That is a
And once you've been pinked, because she is just a phenomenal human being, full of energy, full of inspiration, full of ideas, full of kindness, full of putting other people first. Anyway, so got to know Pinky, and the more and more I learned, the more and more I thought, this is an organization I really want to contribute to in whatever way I can and be part of. And so I actively support where I can. I've been fortunate enough to judge in a couple of the categories on both Women of the Future and Asian Women of Achievement. I'm a part of a small group of advisors to Pinky and her team, and I do my best to promote it appropriately. So, for example, within PwC, where I am, a number of colleagues have attended the Women of the Future summits. They've been to various events, and they all tell me, the experience they get, the networks they gain, the incredible people they meet, the role models have been really, really inspirational to them. And that runs itself. So, and I'm very deliberate about that. I made people aware of it, and again, they're up and running with it now. But also with my clients as well. I work with some phenomenal women in various positions, and on occasions, taking the opportunity to nominate them. I'm going to say they haven't always won, and that's for me genuinely, just being part of the organization and being nominated, that they are all winners. Pinky says that, and I think she's absolutely right. They're all incredible. And I guess it's like trying to pick your favorite child when they're picking the person to pick up the cup, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just being part of the network is
Yeah.
an achievement in itself. I have some quick fire questions for you if you're ready, just to finish. Okay, here we go. What would you describe as your greatest success?
If I was to pick one most recent, I would say seeing my 18-year-old daughter finish school, go out into the world, and I'm obviously biased, but she's a lovely human being.
That's really nice. And your greatest failure?
Not listening to my mum when the optician said I needed to wear an eye patch on my NHS glasses, which subsequently meant my left eye didn't get better, and so I couldn't fly.
Oh wow, that's really sad. Is
Yeah.
that the whole
Yeah,
reason? Really?
it
Wow.
is this eye here.
Oh blimey!
Yeah.
Always listen to your mum. I shouldn't laugh. Anyway, the mantra of Women of the Future is kindness and collaboration. What does that mean to you in both your personal and professional life?
No, I think a really simple one. Kindness is treating others how you'd want to be treated yourself in all walks of life. I think that goes without saying. But I think the collaboration point is really pertinent to what I do. We're fortunate we work with organizations of all shapes and sizes around the world, and they engage with us because they want help. And I think we're at our best when we really bring together the full power of the 330,000 people in PwC, right? And we collaborate cross-border, cross-business units to work with our clients.
Is there anything that scares you?
Snakes.
Have you met a snake? Is there a reason behind this fear?
Yeah, it takes me back to walking up a mountain in Scotland and stepping on one.
Okay,
And it wasn't.
that's a good reason. Yeah. Excellent. What's left on your to-do list?
Ooh. So left on my to-do list, actually, I love cricket, and I would, on my bucket list is to go to the Caribbean, a part of the world I've never been to, and follow England playing the West Indies on each of the on the islands on each of the five Test matches.
That sounds like a lovely retirement plan to me.
Yeah. It certainly does.
That's the dream. Peter, thank you so much. It's been lovely speaking to you. And also some of your answers, about other people, which I don't think I've had an awful lot in the conversations I've had as part of this podcast. And I should also say you are one of the very few men that we've allowed on. So that's a recognition in itself. But thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Women of the Future podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, why not give us a rating and review? You know you want to. For more about the Women of the Future Awards, network, and initiative, please visit www.womenofthefuture.co.uk. See you soon.